got a great guest for you this week, but before we get into that, let's talk news. USA Cricket have announced a historic ODI series for the USA Women's National Team, their first ODI series in history. Slated for the ICC Academy in Dubai on April 11, USA will face off against Papua New Guinea and then Scotland on April 14. Following this historic maiden ODI series, USA will face Netherlands, Scotland, and UAE for a T20I quad series starting April 16 in Abu Dhabi. Major League Cricket's 2024 domestic player draft saw 20 American cricketers drafted by six Major League Cricket teams, 13 of which will be joining MLC squads for the very first time. Be sure to check out my article on emergingcricket.com summarizing the draft pick by pick. 53 total domestics occupy roster spots in MLC right now, with a supplemental draft scheduled for mid-June. And speaking of the MLC draft, stay tuned for this week's featured interview with freshly drafted San Francisco unicorn, Kareema Gore. Three and a half years ago, Kareema Gore was the first player drafted in the history of minor league cricket. Drafted now by the San Francisco Unicorns in Major League Cricket, Kareema is ready to show off his talent once again in the USA. Welcome to the show, Kareema Gore. It's great to have you on.
Have a good night.
There was a time in USA Cricket a few years ago where we had yourself and Hayden Walsh Jr. in the same team. Now, Hayden went on, obviously, to get selected by West Indies, thanks to a really great CPL season. But this time period of USA Cricket is really special in my mind. Two of the most explosive and dynamic fielders in the world, great all-rounders, very good cricketers in every aspect of the game. But we were spoiled for riches at this point, in my mind, for USA Cricket. But right now, you're playing a lot of your cricket in Leeward Islands and in Antigua, where you've recently just scored 240 runs in the national two-day tournament there, or the two-day competition in Antigua. You did this just before the draft, just before the Major League draft. Hopefully that helped bring some more attention to you. But I personally thought you should have been drafted last season in the Major League Cricket. You were terrific, especially a T20 cricketer. I don't know how anybody could ask for more. A fantastic fielder, a good bowler, and a good batter. How does it feel to finally get drafted?
It's exciting. I'm looking forward to the challenge. MLC last year was a good look. Some top quality players, and the whole atmosphere was different, you know, from what normally would happen in the U.S.
You've seen the variety of atmospheres in the USA. There's not a whole lot of fanfare for cricket in the USA. As of course, you have been to Morrisville, to Church Street Park in minor league cricket and training with USA Cricket. And so you understand how special that place is. We did host some Major League Cricket here in Morrisville. Is that a special place to you?
Yeah, being in Morrisville is always special. The fans in Morrisville are very passionate and they love to see good cricket. And you would always find like a pack house in Morrisville. Sometimes when you get there, you would say that, not much people would know you and stuff. But these guys already know your name. They already know what you do. They're already very familiar with everything you do and how you do things. So sometimes you would be on the field and you would hear some people shouting your name. And you'd be like looking around and then you would see a bunch of people shouting. But it's very electrifying being in Morrisville. Always a good atmosphere. Never once been to Morrisville and it's like quiet and sad and anything. I always enjoy my visit in Morrisville. So it's very good.
It's nice to hear that. I know I talk a lot about Morrisville. Of course I do. I do commentary for them and everything. But it's always special when players like you come through town playing in minor league cricket. Obviously, you've played three seasons of minor league cricket now, performed quite well in the East Division. Now, the East Division is now dealing with a little bit of a transition moving into turf. We saw some really difficult batting situations and batting environments in the East last season, and we saw a lot of really inflated bowling numbers there in that division. Obviously, they've got a ways to go. The bigger issue is the outfields. You can have a turf wicket. You can have a hybrid wicket all you want to, but unless you have a good outfield, to me, you're not going to learn good techniques and good habits. Do you feel like that kind of holds the East Division back?
Yeah, I would agree with that because playing my first time playing in the East Division in the Caribbean, we would have, I would say, smooth grounds, but the grass would be cut very low. So the ball would travel a lot more over the ground. So playing in the Eastern Division where the grass was ankle height was very different and difficult for me at first. I found it very difficult mentally because as soon as you hit a ball, it would just roll next to the pitch and stand up. And then you have people running in to try and run you out and stuff. So it took me a little while to get accustomed to the conditions and stuff. But it's a challenge that I feel also helped me improve in my batting also. And I work with that from there.
I think sometimes a lot of people can forget, since you've been in the USA setup since 2019, I think a lot of people can forget about how young you still are. But here we are 5 years later and you're 25 years old, going on 26 years old. You're still young. And with younger players, sometimes certain aspects of their game take longer to develop. And I think one of those things is definitely batting, especially in the T20 format where scoring quickly is the most important thing. So surely, as we view our own U19 players and we see how they perform in minor league cricket and how they perform against top domestic talent, they tend to be a little bit better in the 50 overs game than in a T20, where it's difficult to find a young batter, 20, 19, 21 years old, who's scoring at a preferred strike rate for T20 cricket. So obviously, when you joined the USA setup 5 years ago, you were quite young. You were looked at more as a bowler than anything else. But I think that batting is something, limited overs where you really need to score quickly. I think batting comes along a little bit later on. For the last couple of years, you've been batting an awful lot, much higher up the order than you were previously. And I think it reinforces what I said. Maybe, especially in T20 cricket, I think the strike rate comes a little later on than your early 20s.
Yeah, I've been batting a lot since I've returned back to the Caribbean. I only bowl mostly in white ball cricket, which is 50 over and T20s. Most times I only bowl when I'm called upon because the guys really look at me as a top order batsman. And I took the opportunity to work on my batting and see how much I can improve and see how far I can carry myself.
In 2022, when you were playing for the Philadelphians and you were here in Morrisville, you had just played in the Houston Challenge in the USA setup. I don't think you played in the USA setup since then, but that was in Houston at the PBCC, where we had all these players assembled and then a USA team to play against them. And you played in that tournament, but you haven't been in the USA setup really since then. But that summer when you came to Morrisville, of course I get a great view because I'm doing commentary right next to the sight screen on the north end. But looking down the back of you while you were bowling, your ball was drifting really nicely. I felt like your bowling was actually very good at the time. But it has surprised me a little bit that you haven't bowled more than you have. But at the same time, your batting was really starting to come on in 2022. Your strike rate was fantastic. You were taking a lot of responsibility for your team. And you continued that, I think, that same year in the Cool and Smooth. Is that what it's called? The Cool and Smooth T20?
Yeah, cool as what's into it.
Yeah, you won the MVP. Now, that was amongst some very good cricketers. Rakeem Cornwall played in that league. Haden Walsh Jr. played in that league, and you still won MVP, and you did it with your bat. One of the great things about cricket is players get a chance to reinvent themselves in popular perception, but I think inside with the kind of cricketer that you really are. But yeah, you have worked on your batting a lot. Your strike rate's really come along quite a bit. And of course, recently in the 2 day, you scored 240 runs. That's a really difficult thing to do. So now you find yourself in the San Francisco Unicorn setup. There are a couple of other left arm orthodox spinners on that team. You can affect the game with the bat just as well. So, do you see yourself as a batter on that team or as an all rounder? How do you see yourself on that team, or does it really matter to you?
To be honest, it's my first time getting selected in such league, such big league. So I'm actually going with an open mind to whichever role they want me to play, whether it's batting or bowling. Even though if they give me a specific bowling role, I would still have pride in my batting and stuff. But I would focus more on the role that they give me. And try and do it to the best of my abilities.
Damar Hamilton was taken also by San Francisco at the same price point because you could take up to two players at the same price round in the Major League Cricket draft. Damar Hamilton, a wicketkeeper, Leeward Islands teammate of yours. He keeps wicket for Atlanta Fire in minor league. He's exceptional wicketkeeper. He's very fun to watch, very exciting cricketer to watch. He's always busy. He's always doing something, and he always brings a smile to my face. Can you talk a little bit about how good you think Jamar Hamilton is?
Words, boy. I can't really find words to describe it, but we could keep him behind the stumps. He's one of the easiest wicketkeepers I have ever seen, basically. You have a few guys that I've seen before also that are up here. Jamar Hamilton with the gloves is very good from what I've seen for the past couple of years, especially practicing with him. Batting wise, he's like a small pocket rocket. There are times where he scores very easy, but then gets out so at some times where he needs to buckle down. Some things that we as international cricketers can still work on. Saying that, he's been very consistent for Leeward Islands for the past 2 years, I think the most consistent batter. And when he's playing coolness mode, or if he's playing coolness mode, he normally plays with me and Rakim and Hayden. He plays with our team. So I've been around him for a good amount of years, from since I was younger and stuff. So I normally would call him Pocket Rocket. Because he hits the ball very well. I'm sure you've seen that when he plays for Atlanta Fire in minor league. And he's very energetic behind the stumps. So he's a people's guy.
Yeah, he seems like a spark plug. The Pocket Rocket is a great nickname for him. Of course, also goes by Pup. But in minor league cricket, on that, I just love watching him play. I love his enthusiasm for the game, the way that he dives around when he's keeping wicket, and he does launch the ball with the bat. He absolutely does. There was a game in finals weekend in the semifinal of minor league cricket in 2022 with Atlanta. They were playing against New Jersey Stallions, who are as a well-established team in minor league cricket, always at the top of the Eastern Division. And for Atlanta that game, him and Aaron Jones had partnered for a ridiculous partnership that was just explosive. And they're celebrating in the middle every time they hit a six, their arms are going up like it's like they've just won the game. But it was just that kind of enthusiasm and that type of celebratory attitude that the two of them were feeding off of each other in the middle there. There were a couple of balls that he hit into the trees at Church Street Park under the lights in the early evening hours when there's still a glow in the sky, but it's dark enough that the lights are making a difference. And obviously the dew had come in, so the pitch had settled to a point where it was just an opportunity for the two of them to express themselves, and they didn't fail to disappoint at all. They just scored six after six. It was incredible. I'll never forget that, how much hype there was in the middle right there. Everything he does is just worth watching.
Yeah, I agree.
So I also have his gloves rated really high in my mind. He and Lahiri Mulata, to me, the two of them, their gloves are just fantastic. Recently, Mash Hewitt on the Caribbean Cricket Podcast actually called Jamar the best gloves in the Caribbean and the best gloves in the region. And I think that's probably pretty true. Like, he does have a great pair of hands. On this San Francisco team, though, you have Corey Anderson, Liam Plunkett. You played with Liam Plunkett in Philadelphia. What was that like?
That's when the time he just came in onto the scene with minor league and all that. I think playing with him, he would give some nice input when we're playing, like some information about field placement. He would help the fast bowlers. He would give tips to the batters also. So a very helpful guy on the field. I haven't been around him much off the field, other than practice, I would say. But being around him for the little I was around him, I would say he's a very helpful guy, nice guy to talk to and stuff.
That season, you played, I believe, three games at Church Street Park one weekend, and two of them back to back, a Friday night game and a Saturday game, went down to a super over, back to back super overs. And I'd never seen that before with the same team. But Church Street Park's crazy things like that are not unusual. We've had a lot of super overs at Church Street Park, but that was incredible to me how both of those games went down to a super over. I believe Liam defended six or seven in a super over to win, I think, on the Saturday game. But you played very well in that game, and then you hurt yourself pretty badly, and you were out for a while. What happened to you that day?
I think it was a transition from the high grass in New York or New Jersey that took a lot of energy out my muscles and stuff. So coming back onto a field where the grass is well cut and very smooth, I think like I overstride in running a single or something like that, and I end up hurting myself in my hamstring. And I came out of the field and got some rest, but then the next game they wanted me to play, which I did play, and I bowled a few overs, which after I bowled maybe like my second or third over, I couldn't really continue because of the pain, and it got worse. So when I did a when I did an x-ray on my hamstring and stuff, it was like a small tear. And the doctor actually told me it's a good thing that I'm actually fit, because it could have been a lot worse. So thankfully, I was staying fit and keep moving.
I think the game that you got injured, I think you were also the man of the match that game. Am I correct about that?
I'm not sure if I was man of the match, but I did put in some performances. I got a few wickets and I made 50 from a few balls. I think I got the performances in, but I'm not sure if I was man of the match.
Yeah, I think you actually did score exactly 50 runs that game before you got hurt. Sucks that you got hurt there, Karima, but I gotta say, it makes me feel a little better about myself, because that's because I've only played two games at Church Street Park and I hurt myself in both of the games, and I said it was because I wasn't used to wearing the spikes on that square, and it was both times it was fielding inside the circle, and I said I was used to wearing the rubber spikes. I wasn't used to my feet sticking in the ground, and I pulled my groin both times, and I think mostly it's just because I'm crap and I'm not fit, but I blamed the not being used to the spikes. That's what I blamed. And unlike you, where your doctor said, well, it's a good thing that you're fit. I didn't have to go to the doctor, but the doctor probably would have said you'd be better off if you were fit. Also on your team, we've got Harvey LaRue, Brody Couch, Sanjay Krishnamurthy, a youngster that plays in San Francisco, also a left-arm bowling all-rounder. Hassan Khan, another left-arm bowling all-rounder who was a standout last year in minor league cricket. Tejinder Singh, of course, I mentioned Jamar Hamilton, but yeah, Corey Anderson I mentioned before. Harris Ralph is coming back, Finn Allen. So this is looking like a pretty good team, the San Francisco Unicorns team. You're probably not going to say, but did you have a preference over which team drafted you?
Not really. When I went into the draft, I wasn't really looking at any team. It's just to, since I got the opportunity now, it's to just go and showcase and do the best of my ability and put in some good performances.
Last season, Hayden Walsh Jr. played for Seattle Orcas, and he pretty much only appeared as a 12th man, as a fielder, but they utilized him quite a bit, which, of course, you're going to do if you have a player of his fielding ability. My thinking with you is that you're always a safe person to include in the team, because even if you do have other people that do the same role as you, or you know how teams are sometimes, the configuration favors one person over another, within roles even. But no matter what, you're still an excellent fielder. You can still come in and be a 12th man. Obviously, you want to play every single ball. You want to be in there all the time. You want to bat. You want to bowl. But do you think that fielding gives you an edge in situations like this where maybe you might, it's coming down to one guy to fill out a team? Do you think your fielding ability, do you think it gives you a really big advantage in terms of selection?
I would say yes. Because cricket has three aspects, batting, bowling, and fielding. So once you can have an impact within those three aspects, I think you're a good asset to any team.
I've called you the best fielder in associate cricket. There are a lot of good fielders out there, of course. There's a lot in the USA. But who impresses you right now as a fielder? Who is somebody you look at and say, wow, that guy's pretty amazing?
Yeah, then Walsh has been my fielding idol from a young boy growing up. He's from Antigua, and I was raised in Antigua also. I always have a competition with him. For all the years we've been training and stuff, I always tell him that one day I will be better than him. And he always telling me that he's not just sitting down in a wheelchair not doing anything, so it's going to take a lot. So actually pride myself on one day I'll be better than him. But then Fabian Allen and those guys, I would watch those guys when they're feeling and see what I can learn and pick up within this small short time.
So you say one day you'll be better than Hayden in the field. Does that mean that you feel like he's better than you right now?
Yeah, I would honestly say that yes, he is better than me. There's a few things I have to sharpen up and stuff like that, which I am working on. But he's the one that honestly saying that he's not sitting in a wheelchair and stuff, so I've been putting a lot more work to be a lot sharper than him. But he's been doing this for a few years, and I just want to be better than him one day. What was I gonna tell him? And he admits it. I'd be happy with that.
There you go. He does have a few years on you, so you just have to outlast him, I think. And then you'll be able to make that claim. Hayden, has he been a mentor for you in other ways? Cricket is a very difficult sport on your psyche. It's basically gig work. You're looking for a league to join all the time to make your living. It's not like some other sports where you can just play in one league and you're set for the year. Hayden been a good mentor for you in other aspects?
Yeah, I actually talk to him when I'm going through tough times and stuff. He give me advice. He's a bit older than me, so most of the things I'm going through or would be going through at the moment, he's already been through. You have Rakeem Cornwall, who I would talk to, will then Polo Cornwall, which is Rakeem's uncle. You have Kenny Benjamin. You have my father, Ian Boer. So you have a few guys that I honestly would look up to and sometimes ask questions about what's happening and how I can get better, how I can actually take my cricket further.
Antigua, for such a small place, has a great history of creating very good cricketers. What do you chalk that up to?
They have a few teams or clubs in Antigua have a good system, like practice system, and we keep the players in check and monitor their progress and stuff like that. Get the players out of their comfort zone sometimes and tell them keep pushing. Even they may be tough at times. There are a few guys around that would continue to help us help the guys and support them right through.
That's a good thing. There were six left-arm orthodox bowlers who went in this draft out of 20 players overall taken. That's pretty remarkable. That's 30% of the players taken in this draft. Left-arm orthodox bowlers. There's already a few in Major League Cricket that are domestics. I've always said that this is the deepest role in American cricket is the left-arm orthodox position. And I've always said that the best way to separate yourself in this crowd is to be a good batter. What do you think about this crop of left-arm orthodox bowlers in the USA? How difficult does that make things for a person like you who's trying to keep ahead of everybody?
Yes, I agree that there's a lot of left-arm spinners in the US. I was surprised for the first time seeing all those guys when I first came. You would really find a bunch of left-arm spinners giving you the same attributes, like attacking or defensive, and the fly, spinning the ball, and those kind of stuff. So I feel each left-arm spinner have something special about them. And once they can find that within themselves and continue working on that, it would make them or even help them to impact any game that they play. As you said, batting and being a left-arm spinner also is very handy, especially when you come into games where you want to impact as a person. I want to say that you made a good comment there when you said batting also helps you separate yourself from the crowd of left-arm spinners. But adding to that also, if you're a good fielder, I feel that you get a nice step in front of them also because you're adding the three aspects of the game, which could help you impact any game once you're doing it and getting the job done very well.
Oh, absolutely. Fielding is so important in Major League Cricket, especially for domestics. If you ask me, if you're a domestic trying to make your way into Major League Cricket, you got to be a good fielder. There's going to be stars in this league, and the pressure's not going to be on the stars. They've got their jobs, they've got their name already established. But if you have to find some way to make an impact all the time, and fielding is one of those ways where you make a surprise impact. You don't know when the ball's coming to you. You have to be ready at all times. This is why I think Nosh Kenjigay did such a great job last year in Major League Cricket. Yeah, he bowled well, But everywhere he was in the field, he was accountable to his position. He made catches that he should have made. He made throws were bonuses to the team. He made a run out that most people aren't going to make that play. And when you can make that play, you bring your team a little bit of an advantage that you that somebody else can't really do. Were you surprised to see Nosh perform so well?
It's not really surprising to me because I know how hard he works on his game, because we've been teammates for a few years. And even though after not being teammates for those for another few years, we would still message each other to find out how the training is going, if you're pleased with it and if you're improving and stuff like that. It wasn't really a surprise to me. It was just a matter of time. Once he got the opportunity, he would put his best foot forward. And once Nosh put his best foot forward, it's going to be a really nice step.
That's a great way to put it. He's one of those players, like you said, he has a reputation for hard work. I think everybody kind of cheers for him because of that. We talked about Hayden Walsh Jr., his work ethic is through the roof. I think there's a common theme here amongst a lot of these guys. Working hard pays off. You owe it to yourself and you owe it to your teammates to work hard and to do your best. And I think some of the guys that we're talking about just aren't going to be it. They're just not going to be outworked. They've made up their mind that way. Is that kind of how you feel? You just don't think you'll be outworked?
I would be thinking like being outworked, what you want to get out of it at a specific time. So you train hard for that purpose. And once you train hard for that purpose and you get opportunity, it's just about execution. Because sometimes you have a good plan and a good idea, but the execution needs to be on point.
So amongst these left arm spinners that you mentioned, fielding is such an important thing. Daron Davis from the New Jersey Stallions. I love watching this guy play because of his effort level. He's just a good, solid cricketer, and he always seems to make some highlight catch or some tremendous play in the field. It seems like every game he seems to throw his body around in some way to make a great play. You have to appreciate his fielding, don't you?
Yeah, I met him last year for the first time in minor league when I was playing for Somerset Cavaliers and he was playing for New Jersey Stallions. And I actually met him last year for the first time. There's a social media platform, Instagram, where you would highlight catches and runs and wickets and stuff like that. And I really saw what he did in a few games. It was surprising to me because the first time I'm seeing and hearing about this guy. But yeah, I honestly like his feeling. And he's a hard worker with the bat also. And he gives you a good left arm option also.
Oh yeah, he was considering the difficult batting conditions of the East last season. He batted very well. He was one of the standout batters in the East last year. But yeah, to me, it's always his fielding. Against a team like the New Jersey Stallions, they're a very good team. They've got a lot of good bowling depths. They battle really well. And when you can just steal a wicket in the field like he can, when you can make this a great leaping catch at the boundary or a diving catch in the inner circle, when you can do this to steal a wicket for your team, it makes that team a very hard team to beat, that Stallions team. And I really like the way they play in the field as a group in general. I think that they're a good fielding team. They put a lot of, they just feel like that they can impact the game that way. How important do you think that is, that mentality? For example, the USA is playing in the World Cup coming up. When USA is playing against the Pakistan or in India, how important is that kind of element to the game to you?
Playing cricket, you always want to have an impact. So if you can have an impact in the field especially, I think that's a plus for the team, because you have specialist bowlers and specialist batsmen that want to have those personal impacts that would help the team also. So once you can help in the field, I feel that's a plus for the team and for you also.
We saw some players not taken, of course, and not everybody can be taken in the Major League Cricket draft. Was there any surprises, any players you felt that were left out that really you think teams really made a miss by not taking a certain player?
I won't say really teams made a miss, because they got to see those guys last year and they know exactly what they want. So yeah, there was a few guys that I thought that didn't get chances here that I thought I would see again. But as I said, teams in the league know exactly what they want, and I guess at that time the teams think that those guys weren't offering what exactly they wanted. So I guess that's the world of professional sports in general. Players come in, players go out. Yeah, I honestly think that some people may think that they get a hard deal, but I honestly think that it's the world of professional sports, because if you look at it, even in professional football, soccer, whatever professional sport you may play, unless it's an individual sport, players always come in and players always go out. Whether it's injury, performance.
Speaking of feeling like you're hard done, or people potentially feeling like they're hard done by something, USA Cricket recently said that they weren't going to consider eligible players who are playing in overseas systems for consideration, obviously, unless they could make it back, unless they had made it back here to try out for a zonal team, they weren't going to be considered. And we have an awful lot of such players, yourself, Jamar Hamilton, Ian Holland, Cameron Stevenson, Cameron Gannon, who were just completely eliminated from consideration because you happen to be playing professional cricket overseas. What do you feel about that?
I will really say it's hard done. The part about it that was really shocking is there was no communication between the players and the board. Even though we're playing first-class cricket or professional cricket elsewhere, you would like that communication help you know what are your plans going forward, especially when you have a busy calendar currently, not in the future, and you're just sitting at home not doing anything. I will really say it's hard done, but I guess rules are rules, and they came up with that rule. So as players, we just have to sit back and
But you would have had to, in order to be considered, you would have had to fly back, try out, probably at an indoor tryout in the middle of a season or in the middle of a competition, leave that competition, come try out, probably indoors on your own dime, on, and then fly back for the national championship on your own dime and play in that, and then stay another week if you get selected into the training squad on your, all this on your own dime. That's a really hard thing to ask somebody to do, wouldn't you think?
yeah, I honestly think that's very hard to ask somebody to do, because you don't know somebody's situation or what somebody's going through. But then to ask them to spend that type of money, not knowing what would be the outcome of that situation, I really think that's very hard to swallow. But I guess that's the situation where that they came up with, and I guess that's what their final answer was.
I think a reasonable concern that I think administrators and selectors might have, I've been told that this particular thing is the reason we haven't had a men's national championship since 2021 before this last one. And this was our first T20 one that we've had under this current governing body. But one of the reasons cited for not having them annually is exactly that, is that players, unlike U19 or U17 or U15, whose parents are going to foot the bill for a player to come spend a week or two in Houston for a national championship. At the senior men's level, that's coming out of your own pocket. That's coming out of, you're a professional now. You're going to have to make time. And some of the players are part-time cricketers, and some of them are full-time cricketers. But you're going to have to, you have opportunity cost, and then you have the cost of paying for the flight, and you have the cost of paying for your meals and staying in a hotel. And this is a reason that's been given to me for not having a men's national championship every single year, because the fear is they'll stage this and the best cricketers in the country will say, well, it's really not worth it for me to spend $3,000, $4,000 of my own money plus opportunity cost to go and participate in a national championship. And so the fear is that they'll hold this and they won't even get the best players included. Now, this year they did this as a selection tournament for the World Cup. And yeah, it's reasonable to be worried about this as a reason not to have a annual national championship. And maybe the best thing to do is to have a every other year men's national championship. Do you think that the best players are more likely to get together every 2 years instead of every 1 year if they did it like that?
I honestly feel like it's hard asking a player like to pay their own expenses to come to the championship because you, as you said, you have players that are half-time cricketers, some are professional full-time cricketers, but then you still don't know what a guy would have to sacrifice. And so some of the best players may be going through something and he may not have the money right now to spend at the time. But then you may have a part-time cricketer that's, he can't just leave his job like that. But he may be the best within the region on that side of the country. So it all boils down to what players are going through and if they can accommodate themselves within the championship. But I find that's very hard because you never know what someone is going through.
And at least with minor league cricket, players are getting paid to be there. They're getting money per game to be involved. And of course, that pay is gonna be vastly different between the 13th best guy on your team and your first, second, third, fourth best player on your team are definitely gonna fetch a lot more money in minor league cricket. Now, minor league cricket's been criticized for being a little diluted because there's 26 teams around the country, but there are enough good teams in minor league cricket that, to me, you can look at a matchup against, for example, New Jersey Stallions versus New Jersey Somerset Cavaliers is going to have a lot of great players in it. There are a lot of good players on both of those teams. You have a situation with New Jersey Stallions a couple years ago where they had to decide between playing Stephen Wigg and Manoj Acharya. That's a difficult decision. That's a good team. If one of those two is on the bench, that's a good team. I think that there's enough analysis that can happen in minor league cricket where the players are getting compensated. You can look at those specific games, those matchups, and how, and you can, I think that's good enough to choose who should be in the national training squad personally. Do you think minor league cricket, in your opinion, should tier itself so that we have maybe a strong, like a first division and a second division? This is something that's been tossed around a little bit lately, but do you think that there should be tiers to minor league cricket, or do you think it's fine how it is now, or do you just not have an opinion?
I don't really know the structure of minor league cricket, so I can't really pinpoint a category to really if to tear it or just leave it how it is. It all depends on the people that runs the cricket or the organizers that organize the whole cricket championship and stuff like that. It honestly depends on how they see fit. Sometimes we may criticize at times how some things are being run, but everybody has a different perspective when it comes to certain things.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, especially when you're talking about altering minor league cricket in more ideal ways for one thing, it's going to be less ideal for another. Obviously, the owners of the teams won't want to be suddenly decided. They won't want it suddenly decided that, oh, now you're a second division team. You know what I mean? They won't want that to happen. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot to consider more than just these simple things. Obviously, that was a very simplified question by me, but I think you handled it super well. All right, Karima, thank you for joining me. It's been great. It's been a great chat, very insightful. And I'm very happy to see that you got drafted in Major League Cricket. It was deserved. I felt like you deserved it last year too, but now, better late than never. You're still young. Good luck to you this season. Good luck to the unicorns, and hopefully we'll see you in the team for a long time, and we'll see you lighting up the scoreboard or taking wickets or diving and making catches in Major League Cricket.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I only want to help.